Our scripture reading today comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 45 to 52, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Immediately after this is after feeding the people on the mountain, the 5,000 that he fed, right? Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I'm here." Then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped, and they were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. I'm sure all of us can tell stories, and not a story, but real life experiences of these moments where we said yes to God, and we were convinced, and we were correct in being convinced that this is what God intended for us, this is what God wanted for us, and that we were moving in God's will, doing exactly what God wanted. But then being in that situation, it didn't necessarily pan out the way that we wanted it to. And sometimes it felt like, holy mackerel, Lord, I'm doing what you want me to do. And I committed into this, but now it feels like I'm on my own. And it feels like obedience doesn't necessarily equate with the peace that would come with that. And it's really hard for me, and I'm struggling in this. And it feels kind of like in, where are you? Where are you in this? And somehow I think this might have been how the disciples felt in that moment in the boat. I mean, if you just think about the story, Jesus tells them, get in the boat. They get in the boat. They don't argue with him and say, but it's late. Or maybe there's a storm brewing, because they would have known the lake really well and could have maybe seen the storm. And why are you not going with us? And why should we get in the boat now? They get in and they go, because Jesus told them so. What happens? Well, they get stuck in the middle of the lake with a huge storm that's all around them, wind blowing and waves going all over the place. And John tells us, and I didn't read that, but you can go read that a little later, because he tells the story from a little bit of a different angle. John says in chapter 6, verse 17, and Jesus was not with them yet. They're obedient. They get in the boat. They do what Jesus says. The storm comes, the wind blows, the waves go, and Jesus is not there yet. Someone wrote so eloquently and said, sometimes we get caught in that perfect storm of God's not yet. I mean, Jesus, we're in the boat. Can you see what's going on? Why aren't you here? Why aren't you stopping the waves? Why the storm? Why are you not with us in the storm? Because can I just tell you a little something about this? When we read this, it seems like, oh, it happened just like this. It didn't. If you take the different versions, Mark, Matthew, John, you look at them, you see they differ a little bit, but they tell one story. When Jesus sent them off, it was evening. John tells us that. And then Mark says, when Jesus went to them, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm not that good with calculation, but I mean, anyone can make that math. Let's say evening was anything between 5 and 6. Let's say it was 6 o'clock when they got in the boat. And Jesus only appears to them 3 o'clock in the morning. That's 9 hours in the boat. 9 hours that they were all alone. 9 hours. Why does it take so long? Why does Jesus sometimes feel in our own lives that it takes too long, that it takes really, really long? Because make no mistake, Mark says that, verse 48, he saw them. He saw they were in the boat. He saw they were in the storm. Why? I'm not too sure that I have a 100% answer for you, because I'm not God. But I'm going to try and explain this to you through an example of my own life. So, one of our children, when they were really young, they had to go for therapy every week of their lives. And it was hard, it was difficult, and Elsie and I had to sit and we had to watch. And this child found it hard and difficult and would often look at us, and you could see those little eyes plead, please come into the therapy, please come help me, please take me out of this. It would be so much better for me not to be in this right now. And my father's heart would bleed, and my father's heart would want to say, I want to get out there, I want to go do this, I want to go take this little boy out there. But if I did that, it would have been so wrong. If I walked in there and said, stop, I'm taking the child out. This is too much for me. This is too much for the child. Let him rather go play. It would have been the biggest mistake, because it wouldn't have helped that child to grow from the therapy. Wouldn't have had the therapy work for the child. Wouldn't have been good for the child. What would often happen is the therapist at some stage would look at me or Elsie and just give us a little wink or a little nudge, saying, come in, come play with us, come work with us, and we'd go in. And that would be the perfect timing, and the child would be happy, and we'd all, and that would be part of the therapy, and it would be good. In the end, her timing was perfect. If I jumped in ahead of time, I would have messed it all up. And because I didn't, because I waited, because I allowed her to do it in her time with him, he grew up to be the most amazing young man who has excelled in life. But in those moments, he would have looked at me and said, hey, Dad, your timing stinks. Why are you not in there? Why are you not there? And that's sometimes, I think, why God leaves us in the middle of that storm. Because God knows God's timing. And His timing is always perfect. You know the old story that I've told you often about prayer, when sometimes we say, but God doesn't listen. And I've said to you, I've learned this by myself. Sometimes when we pray and the reason is wrong, God says no. Sometimes when I pray and I am wrong, God says, grow. Sometimes when I pray and the timing is wrong, God says, slow. It's only when the reason, the timing, when all of us are right, that God says, go. Sometimes in the middle of the storms, we just want to say, go, go, go. And God says, slow, grow. Until that moment when God says go, because God's timing is perfect. And what makes God's timing perfect? I don't know, because I'm not God. Why is 9 hours better than 4 hours? I don't know. Why does he wait until the money's nearly done? I don't know. Why does he wait until the sickness is already there? I don't know. Why does he? I don't know. Because I am not God. But what I know is that God's perfect timing is always right on time, exactly when I need it, because He's God, and He knows. And He knows exactly when to step into that storm. He knows exactly when to step into those moments. And I might not hear Him, but He's there talking to me. I might not see Him, but His hand is there guiding me. For me, the one thing that I always hold on to is one of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 31. When it speaks about, Lord, will you be my rock and my fortress where I can hide? And then it says, I'm going through distress and my life is tough and my life is hard. But here is what I say. I say, verse 14, you are my God. And then those amazing words, my times are in your hands. Can we profess that? When I hit the storm, my times are in your hands. When I'm into that sickness, my times are in your hands. When I'm going through the struggles, my times are in your hands. My moments, my hours, my days, my struggles, my hurts, my pains, my I don't understand. Those storms that seem to feel like they're going to overwhelm me, they're in your hands. The hands that made me, the hands that made this world, the hands that understand and hold me. He's there. Might take longer than I think. Maybe he's teaching. Just think of God's people. God took them out of Egypt. If God took them into the promised land with a direct route, you know how long it would have taken? 11 days. It took them 40 years. And in 40 years, their hearts that were so hard in the beginning learned to be soft and gentle. Those people who thought that they could stand on their own feet, take care of themselves, learned about manna and quail. They also learned about sufficiency. They didn't have to take more than they needed. It would just rot because in the morning God would give manna and in the evening God would give quail. We sing that beautiful song in this church. There's honey in the rock. There's water in the stone. There's manna on the ground. Everywhere I go, I don't have to worry because I've got everything I need in you. When I'm praying, you're already hearing. When I'm asking, you've already provided. When I'm in the storm and I feel I'm alone, you're there too. I had to learn about water from the rock. I had to learn that the water from the river Jordan could not stop them. They could go in. And Joshua had to learn from Moses to take them into that land. God's timing. Let me take you back to the story. They're in the boat. They're in the storm. They're afraid they're going to capsize. Everything around them is wild. Where's Jesus in all of this? We're saying. Jesus is on the mountain. What is Jesus doing? He's praying. Doesn't he hear them? Of course he hears them. Doesn't he see them? Of course he sees them. He's praying. Why? Well, either he doesn't care, or either because Jesus believes in prayer. And you know which one of the two it is, right? That's exactly where he is. He's praying for them. He's praying for them in the middle of the storm. He's praying for their hearts. He's praying for their faith. He's praying that they will go through the storm. He's praying that they will understand about the loaves and the fish. He's praying for those hearts that are still hard, that need to soften, to understand, to also see him in the miracles that sometimes we don't see. In the storm, when sometimes we don't see because all we see is the storm and the waves and the water, and we don't see, we think it's a ghost. And where are we? We're in the boat. What do? We row, my friends. I get up in the morning and I have to go to work and I row. I get up in the morning and I have to face those little ones and all the things that are happening, and I have to row. The bills come in and I don't know where I'm going to pay them from, and I have to row. Life happens and all kinds of stuff that I don't understand, and I row because I know. I know that as I row, someone is praying. Someone is praying. Someone is praying, and his name is Jesus. And he knows you. And knows your needs. And he's praying for you. And in a moment, he's praying that prayer. He answers the prayers that he's praying. Because his timing is perfect. We row, Jesus prays. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, thank you. Thank you for knowing us. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you're praying, always praying before the Father, that you know our names, that we're not just a number somewhere or a something. We're your children. And when we pray, you hear. But Lord, thank you that we hear you praying and that you are there in the storm, even when we don't see you. And that you keep on praying for us. So we gladly place our times in your hands. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.